It's 5:06 and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Jean Purcell. I'm here today for Rob Ferret.
Coming up in half an hour, we'll take a look at dozens of tax breaks that expired at the end of 2013.
But right now, we're going to take a look at the new year and how we can take better care of the environment.
Beth Terry was happily consuming food, drinks, and products in plastic and feeling like that was fine because she would recycle it afterwards, at least sometimes.
But then she saw a photo that would change her life and her outlook. She's become committed to living a plastic-free lifestyle, and she's got some ideas to share with the rest of us. Beth, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Oh, and Happy New Year to you, too. Take us back to that moment when you saw that photo, and it's kind of a disturbing photo, actually, but it wound up sort of changing your life, changing your direction, and bringing us this book that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. I kind of considered myself an environmentalist at that time because I gave money to environmental organizations and I recycled. But one night while I was browsing the internet, I stumbled on this photo. It was an article about plastic pollution in the ocean. And the photo was a dead albatross chick on Midway Island, which is halfway between the United States and Japan, thousands of miles from civilization. And the carcass of the bird was just full of everyday plastic, bottle caps, all kinds of things like I was using myself on a daily basis. And that was the first time that I actually made the connection between things I was using and things I was consuming and harm to other creatures in the environment. And I just, right then, I thought, I wonder what it would be like to try to live without acquiring any new plastic. You know, I didn't know if it was possible. I didn't know if I'd even want to keep doing it. But I thought, I'm just going to give this a shot and see if I can do it.
You know, I've been on an island kind of in that part of the world, and it is surprising, actually, how there's no people on the island, or very few people, but as you walk around places like that, plastic is everywhere, and if you take that remote island and sort of put it in the context of our everyday lives, plastic becomes an amazing force that we don't even think about.
Right. I was just this year on a beach in Hawaii, on Oahu, the northernmost tip of Oahu, and it's a wilderness preserve. It's a place where most people don't come, and I sat in the sand and I just scooped up handful after handful after handful of plastic, because it's all out there in the ocean. It runs off from the land, it accumulates in the ocean, and then in certain spots, it just washes up and accumulates. And that beach is one of them. There's a beach on another island in Hawaii, Midway. I had a friend who went to Midway, and he started on one beach at one point cleaning the beach, and by the time he was done, he went back to his original spot, and it was as if he hadn't done anything because there was so much plastic washing in.
Wow, that's kind of sobering. Well, it sounds like after you had your epiphany, you know, your first step was to look around you and identify the plastic that was involved in your life, some of it that you might not have been aware of. So where did you find plastic in your life, and what are some of those pockets of plastic that we don't even think about?
Well, I'll just say that first, the most obvious things were the plastic bags and the plastic bottles and the food wrappers. But, you know, as I would go through and eliminate different types of plastic from my life and find alternatives, I'd all of a sudden discover there was a source of plastic that I hadn't even realized. Like chewing gum, for example, is made out of plastic. The inside of metal bottle caps and jar lids is lined with plastic. Another thing I didn't know is that cardboard cartons and cups and, you know, milk, ice cream cartons, for example, anything that's cardboard that's leak-proof is lined in and out, inside and out, with plastic also. Plastic is just everywhere. It's ubiquitous. And I think in this, in our day and age, it's kind of difficult to completely live without plastic. I mean, I use a computer. I'm talking to you on a phone right now. But there are ways that we can significantly reduce it and reduce our plastic impact. And so I just wanted to find out what was possible.
I can't believe we're chewing plastic when we chew gum. I can't get over that one. Really?
We
we're
are.
Chewing plastic?
We are chewing plastic. There, I found a brand of gum that's only made in England, and it's only distributed in England, and it's made from a natural tree sap, and it also doesn't come in plastic packaging. So that's the other part of it. You know, there are a couple of natural gums, but they have disposable plastic packaging. There are gums that say that they're made with natural ingredients, but if you call what it turns out is that there's synthetic plastic mixed with the natural ingredients. So sometimes it's really hard to know what you're really getting.
And, you know, one of the big questions we've been hearing a lot about lately is plastic and its impact on our health in terms of, you know, things leaching out of water bottles and that sort of thing. Is there more research being done on that and more definitive answers that we're starting to get some handle on?
There's research being done constantly on that issue. Some of the chemicals in plastics that are of the most concern are hormone disruptors. They mimic hormones in the human body, and therefore they have been linked to various illnesses like obesity and diabetes and various cancers and developmental disorders. Every system that hormones regulate, these chemicals can affect. And it's very difficult to pinpoint a direct cause and effect between these chemicals because we're exposed to so many different chemicals on a daily basis. And it's that cumulative effect of so many different chemicals that's a problem. So the thing, though, that to keep in mind is that these hormone disruptors work at very, very tiny doses because it's at very small doses that the body thinks that they're hormones. And so it's not enough, you know, to say, well, you know, you're not being exposed to that much. It's not actually acutely toxic. That's true. But over time, those effects are accumulating. So I think it's important to reduce our exposure as much as we can.
Could you give us a quick sketch of plastics to avoid if we have any say in the matter?
Yeah, they're not all created equal. Although, I will say, first of all, let me just say that the worst ones, I think, are polyvinyl chloride, or PVC, which is number 3 plastic. That one contains phthalates, which are hormone disruptors. It may be stabilized with lead or cadmium or other heavy metals. It's a very difficult to recycle plastic, so number 3 is one to stay away from. Number 6 is polystyrene, and that's what styrofoam is made out of, but not only foam, it's also made into, you know, red Solo cups, for example, and utensils, disposable utensils are sometimes made from that. And styrene is a suspected carcinogen, and it's also difficult to recycle. But what many people don't realize is that in addition to the chemicals of concern that we're aware of, there are many, many, many additives put into plastics to affect the various qualities of the plastic, the strength and flexibility and stability and slipperiness, and even flame retardants are sometimes added, antibacterials are sometimes added. And plastics manufacturers are very reluctant to disclose the ingredients in their products, and they don't have to. They're not required to for proprietary reasons. So it's very difficult for us to know that a particular plastic is actually safe because we're not allowed to know what chemicals have been added to that plastic.
All right,
I was just going to say, even certain, quote, safe plastics have been shown to leach chemicals.
Okay, Beth Terry is the author of Plastic Free, How I Kicked the Plastic Habit, and How You Can Too.
And we want to hear from you on this. Do you think it's challenging to limit how much plastic you use, and is there a particular plastic container or item that you can't imagine finding an alternative to? Beth Terry probably has some ideas to share about how to get plastics out of our lives.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Beth Terry challenged herself to limit or even eliminate plastic in her life. She's the author of Plastic Free, How I Kicked the Plastic Habit and How You Can Too. And she blogs at My Plastic Free Life.
And we'd like to hear from you, too. Are you motivated to get rid of plastic in your life? Do you have concerns about the amount of plastic that you use every single day? Are you surprised by the amount of plastic that you're surrounded by? Or do you think that life would just be too difficult to do without plastic? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can post comments on the Central Time Facebook page.
Now, the phrase reduce, reuse, recycle, it's pretty well known, but Beth, you say that's not enough. Why?
Because I think that it's important for us to, well, first of all, I just want to say that those three, reduce, reuse, and recycle, those are in order, in that order on purpose, because recycling is the last of the R's. It's what we should consider after we've tried to reduce as much as we possibly can. reusing is important, but trying to eliminate plastics, unnecessary plastics, as much as possible, to me, is the best way to start, because we can't possibly recycle our way out of this. And most plastics are not actually recyclable, but instead are downcyclable, meaning that a bottle, for example, doesn't get recycled into another bottle, but into something like polar fleece or carpet or some secondary product that then doesn't normally get recycled. So it just ends up in the landfill, eventually anyway. So if we try to reduce as much as possible, that's great. And of course, I have a lot of other R's in my book, like remember. That's one of the strategies that I use, trying to find out what people did before plastic and use some of those strategies. There are several others that
you've got realize.
Talk about.
Let's talk about realize.
Well, I think realizing is just realizing your impact and that everything we do makes a difference and that our personal actions can actually make a difference. I think a lot of people think that we only need big legislative changes, systemic changes, and that the decisions that we make in the grocery store every day aren't really going to make that much of a difference. But I disagree with that. I think we need laws changed, but we also need to take personal responsibility, and our personal actions can encourage other companies to make products that are healthier for us and have less plastic in them. And I've discovered lots and lots of really awesome companies making alternatives to plastic that I list in my book.
Well, let's talk about some of the specifics. I'm thinking about plastic water bottles. Those are still pretty popular. And people, I think, assume, they can recycle those water bottles. So it's not that big of an environmental cost. Or you look at the reusable Tupperware that has taken off recently, and it's plastic and it's reusable. It won't, last forever. They're not as sturdy as glass, but people rely on those a lot when they want to be able to send food home with some guests, for instance. What about plastic like that or packaging? How do we get rid of those?
Well, there's two different issues here. One is the waste issue, and when you're talking about something reusable, you're reducing waste by using those plastic reusables, actually, because you're not using something that someone's just going to throw away. But you have to also consider those chemicals that we talked about before that can leach out of them. And so there are great alternatives. There are stainless steel containers. When we have dinner parties or when our friends have dinner parties, they'll often encourage guests to bring a container with them so they can take home leftovers. And that's exactly what happened on Thanksgiving this year. Water bottles, if you're talking about disposable water bottles, they get downcycled. They don't get truly recycled, and they do have chemicals that can leach out of them. Reusable plastic water bottles, I wouldn't necessarily use either because of those chemicals. But there are stainless steel water bottles. There are glass water bottles. There are all kinds of great alternatives that people can use instead of plastic.
You talked earlier about the idea of, in your R's, about remembering how we used to do things.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, in 2013, 2014 now, I guess, how it is having that discussion with somebody who might be, 20 or 25 or 30 years old, who literally may not remember how we used to do things.
Yeah. Well, and, I'm 48 years old, and there is a lot of stuff that I don't remember, too. And I have conversations with my mother-in-law all the time about how she used to do things and how she still does things. She's never used plastic wrap in her entire life.
Really? So what does she do in place of that?
She uses all sorts of things. One really cool and inexpensive, free, actually, method that I learned from her is just to put leftovers in a bowl and put a saucer on top. And the beautiful thing about that is that it's stackable. You can put other things on top of that saucer. So that's just one thing I learned from her. The reason that she doesn't use plastic wrap is not because she's so concerned about the environment, although I think she is. It's because she doesn't want to have to pay for it, It's putting it in a saucer, in a bowl with a saucer on top is free. Having a conversation with someone younger, that's a good point. But, here's one thing. I remember vinyl record albums, and vinyl is a really toxic plastic. Well, then we went to CDs. And CDs are made out of polycarbonate, which has BPA in them. But a lot of the younger people nowadays, they've skipped all that altogether, and they just download MP3s from the internet. And that's what I do now, too. I don't have any plastic. I don't have any music stored on plastic. It's all digital. And so I think in some ways, the young people are further ahead. They're definitely getting further ahead when it comes to reducing waste and trying to reduce plastic on their campuses, trying to get their parents to reduce plastic. A lot of times it's the parents that need to be educated.
Now, what about going to the grocery store? Let's do that for a moment. It seems like there's plastic packaging on, you know, a lot of the food that you find there, or even if you're buying a bunch of carrots, you put it in a plastic bag. It seems like it's hard to avoid packaging. What do you do, for instance, when you go grocery shopping?
So I have all sorts of strategies in the grocery store, and I have an entire chapter in my book on grocery shopping. First of all, I try to stick to eating whole foods, not packaged, not processed foods. And you know what? That's so much better, so much healthier anyway. In the produce aisle, you know, a lot of produce you can just buy naked. You don't have to put it in any kind of bag. I put it on the belt without any bag, and it just goes through and then into my reusable bag. If you do want to put it in a bag, there are reusable cotton bags, organic cotton. There are net bags. There are all sorts of things that you can either buy, or some people like to make them themselves. And you can use those instead of a plastic bag. Another thing, oh, you know, farmers markets are awesome. And during the parts of the year when farmers markets are open, I live in California, so we have them year-round. We're really lucky. But in other places, you know, when, visit the farmers markets whenever they're open, because you can really reduce packaging that way. And then I like to shop in stores that have bulk bins where I can bring my own bags or bring my own containers and fill them up with all sorts of foods, you know, grains or beans or sugar, flour, whatever I'm buying. Normally I can buy it without any packaging at all.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just trying to think what else. I mean, I could go on forever. You know, my husband makes a homemade cat food for our cats, and he takes a great big stainless steel bucket to the butcher shop to get the ground turkey for our cats. And it's a real conversation starter every time he goes in there. But, you know, they know him now. They're like, oh, there's the guy with the bucket.
Well, and you do other things, too. Like in your book, you talk about making your own makeup and things like of that nature, because, you know, there's just a lot of plastic involved in that. So, I mean, this is more than just getting a different bag for the grocery store.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I've almost completely reduced the plastic in my bathroom, too. I've found ways to wash my hair without plastic, to brush my teeth without plastic for the most part. I have plastic-free deodorant.
Is it a full-time job to do all this, Beth? It sounds so labor-intensive. I can't. The virtuous side of me thinks, that sounds so fantastic. But then the other part of me thinks, I would never have time to do anything else but make my own makeup and cat food and all that stuff.
Okay, first of all, I decided to try to make my own makeup when I was writing the book, because I just wanted to see what was possible. But I am not much of a makeup wearing person in the first place. So I wear very little. And there are a few companies that are making cosmetics that don't come in plastic packaging. And a lot of them you can find on Etsy, ETSY.com. which is a place where individual craftspeople can sell the things that they make. And I have a list in my book also of some of those. I even found mascara, cake mascara, that comes in a little metal tin instead of a plastic tube. So that was sort of the last thing that was difficult to find. But, you know, there are shampoo bars that you can get instead of shampoo in a plastic bottle, and conditioner bars too. I personally use a method called No Poo, which is you wash your hair with a solution of baking soda and water, and you rinse with a solution of apple cider vinegar and water. And that might sound weird, but it works really well, and there's a whole movement of people that swear by this method of hair washing.
Wow.
And I've also discovered that baking soda is the best deodorant I've ever tried. I mean, it just works really well, and I would use it even if I wasn't trying to reduce plastic.
All right. Well, Beth Terry, you've given us a lot to think about, and thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
We've been talking with Beth Terry. She is the author of Plastic Free, How I Kicked the Plastic Habit. and how you can too. If you'd like to read more, she blogs at My Plastic Free Life.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.